said, wake up, Puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Hey podcasters, Clancy, Matt and Kimber here.
On today's catch up, we give you the latest on coronavirus and all the details from Scott Morrison's press conference.
Rory Lobb from Inside the Dockers.
Our own Dean Clares recaps Paul Redmond's funeral.
And we ask what tiny injury caused you great pain.
Do you want your sad music again now?
Stop it.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has been speaking live on telly just moments ago. In fact, he's still going.
He's still going at the moment, yes.
It seems like every 12 hours they've got to come out again and go, all right, things have changed.
Yes.
This is where it's at.
Of course, the latest updates in what we're doing with the coronavirus. And the first of the things that he's mentioned that is possibly the biggest news, it's never happened before, is the latest word on travel bans.
We are upgrading the travel ban on Australians to level 4 for the entire world. That is the first time that has ever happened in Australia's history. The travel advice to every Australian is do not travel abroad. Do not go overseas. That is a very clear instruction. For those of you who are thinking of going overseas in the school holidays, don't. Don't go overseas.
Okay.
Very clear and comprehensive, that one.
Yeah. Is Bali still considered overseas?
Very much.
I thought it was
so.
A suburb of Perth.
The interesting thing they're saying is that, you know, there'll be lots of people on the fence about whether or not to cancel travel plans.
Yeah.
If you haven't been sure, ScoMo has said it now. That's it. The Prime Minister is saying don't travel abroad anywhere in the world, because there's plenty of places that people are saying, oh, but they've not been affected. He's saying nowhere.
Well, and of course, one of the big problems is you could travel and be fine, but you might not be let back in.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I mean, obviously, you can't travel now anyway.
As we know, things are changing every day or two. So essential travel, what does that entail? The Prime Minister.
Now, fair question is, well, what is an essential gathering? So as to define what is a non-essential gathering. Well, there is a baseline that has been established amongst the National Cabinet. And that's an airport, public transportation, which includes public transportation facilities such as stations, platforms, stops, trains, trams, buses, etc. These are essential.
Okay.
So that's about essential gatherings, not travel.
Yes. Okay. So schools, public transport, you are still allowed to gather and congregate as you would, but indoor, no more than 100 people. And outdoor, it's capped at 500 people.
Yeah, and these are still non-essential gatherings. So even if you've got more than 100 people in your workplace and you're all enclosed, they're considering work right now to still be essential.
Yes, sure.
So that can still continue. But if you've just got an event coming up, and that's going to affect a lot of people, say weddings, you know, events where you'd
there's so many events that have been cancelled
right now. Personal events where you're having a 60th birthday and you've got more than 100 people there. Not anymore, you don't.
Absolutely.
In the words of the Prime Minister, here it is.
It's a ban on non-essential gatherings of persons of 100 or greater. So a ban on non-essential gatherings of persons 100 and greater in indoor areas. So in outdoor areas, it's 500. Indoor areas, it's 100. And that is effective now, as of today. And those arrangements, in terms of the legal enforcement of those measures, are being put in place by the states and territories.
Yeah, ScoMo sounding very much in control, quite calm, but also, you know, he seems like he's ad-libbing beautifully this morning. He comes to a point where you want to have trust in your leaders.
Yes, domestic air travel is still okay. The Prime Minister said that from all information that they're getting, that air travel is in and of itself quite low risk.
Right.
The problem is people picking up bugs or, you know, where they're at their destination or at their arrival.
And bringing it back.
Yeah.
Now, the health advice for those who are unsure about schools as well, the health advice is that schools should remain open. The Prime Minister says this is the practice in Singapore where the virus control has been effective.
Okay.
And medical advice based on evidence of the nature of the spread of virus among kids is that, you know, because they're not really transmitting it to each other. And the Prime Minister says, Scott Morrison says his kids are going to school, but of course, keep your kids at home if they are sick.
Yeah.
So standard practice, if your kids are sick, then keep them at home. Everyone else can continue as normal.
Mm. Yeah. So the overwhelming theme, apart from those changes to what's going on there, is the Prime Minister saying it's not necessarily a two-week problem, you know, 14 days at home or a two-month problem. It's probably more like 6 months. We're looking about sort of October then. So anyone who's putting off their events and that until September, October, they may have to move them again or cancel them altogether.
It's a difficult time, isn't it? Because
you
just want to have faith. And the Prime Minister is quite impressive in his press conference today. I thought. But it's hard when you keep hearing, you know, GPs and whatnot saying, close it down.
Shut it all down, schools included.
Shut schools down.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, they're saying domestic air travel is low risk. They haven't seen a lot of evidence of people contracting the virus on planes. But also, we aren't testing people who haven't been travelling overseas. So how do we actually know?
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning. On Mix 94.5.
I mean, we've been looking at the coronavirus a lot of late. We've been keeping you up to date. The latest from the Prime Minister with the Level 4 travel ban and the rest of it going on. But there is a lighter side as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, as a nation, we pride ourselves on the spirit of Anzac.
Yes.
Our beautiful beaches.
Yes.
And our Bunnings sausage sizzle.
Bunnings Warehouse! Lowest prices are just the beginning.
Love a sausage.
The humble Bunnings sausage sizzle is on hiatus.
No.
It's on hiatus, guys. It's had to be suspended for a while. So as of this weekend, you'll get no sausage sizzle outside the warehouse.
I can take a level 4 travel ban, but I cannot miss out on a Saturday morning mystery bag.
Oh, no onion.
Oh.
People
Please.
Will be very sad about this. They're having trouble finding the volunteers to run them, number one.
Yeah,
and also even getting some of the supplies. And with all of the hand washing stuff we've got to deal with that apparently we've never done before,
we can't
take that risk. So lots of fundraising groups and community groups are going to be disappointed because they make a lot of money from those sausage sizzles.
I guess the only thing, and it's not really a positive, is that there won't be as many school excursions and trips overseas and that they have to raise money for right now
in the next few months.
And the sad irony is with those sausages and the bread that they put them in, there's so little natural ingredient that you're probably completely safe.
Yeah, but geez, it tastes good, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It smells good from the car park.
How many Bunnings warehouses must we have when they're saying now Bunnings are going to soften the blow by each club that has booked a sausage sizzle for the next month? They're going to give them a $500 gift card, right?
That's good.
Which is going to add up to $1.2 million.
Yeah. Wow.
That's how many Bunnings we've got.
And think of the butchers, Kimber.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oversupply snags.
Absolutely.
Tough times.
Well, and of course, as we know, in any crisis, be it war, whatever, someone's always going to make money.
This is the seedy underbelly of the coronavirus. Dodgy car park deals of sanitary products we all need.
Stop, please.
What if you're not?
I don't like it.
Yeah, but if you're not doing anything wrong, why don't you want to be facing it?
Opportunists filmed selling surgical masks, hand sanitizer and gloves in a primary school car park in Canning Vale. Nine News understands they have 10,000 masks to sell at $8 a pop.
Ooh. That's a lot.
Wow.
I found him very charming, actually, the bloke. He was great.
Yeah. Good to do business with.
Picked up a few masks and how ridiculous.
Absolutely. Did you get to tap your card or was it cash only?
Oh, cash only, buddy.
Oh, man. It makes me so sad that everyone's so selfish.
But that's the way of the world. That's always been the way of the world.
I know.
Supply and demand.
It doesn't
matter.
That's
the way our great economy works.
The thing is, it's meant to be us versus the big guys, not us versing each other.
Yeah.
I love that you love that I said the word versing.
Yeah, well done.
It's your favourite.
And you get a mask for us?
Yeah, of course. Look after my team.
Good man.
Oh, actually, no, you two have to share one.
God, great. I'll share one with the germaphobe.
Yeah.
Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning. On Mix 94.5. Shut up!
He's one of Frio's biggest stars, and he's here to give us the inside word on the Dockers. Rory Lobb with Claire, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Company policy right now, no special guests joining us in the studio.
No.
Well, guests of any kind from our Dockers camp. Here he is, Rory Lobb. G'day, mate, on the phone this morning. How are you?
Good day, how goes?
Hey, now, Rory, all of the companies are trying to take a few precautions here, and we know at the Frio Dockers they're doing the same. We understand that partners of players have been asked to move out or work from home so that you guys aren't at risk.
Yeah, my partner, her company has told everyone to work from home anyway, so it worked out well. So, yeah, she's been sticking around the house a lot, and we're just trying to seclude ourselves from sort of public. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so everyone else, if they didn't have the opportunity to work from home, they've said you've got to move out and leave the boys to themselves.
I think the girlfriends that didn't live with their partners, because obviously they have jobs and they're out and around other people, so really can't control it as much. But, I'm sure it depends on the relationships and whether they can have them stay with them and work from home or not.
Mm.
And, mate, you know, we're all expecting, I guess, that the first game will be played on Thursday night and we'll have round one. On a human level, how are you feeling? Are you talking to your parents? Are they worried about you?
No, my parents are fine. They live in Lancelot, so nothing's really going crazy out there. It's going the same. I'm hoping that we play. We're ready to get the season underway, but it obviously depends on the decision of the AFL.
Hey, Rory, in the gym there at down there in Coburn, what about when you're lifting weights or you're hitting the bag or whatever? Do you have to sanitise every time? What's going on?
So we actually moved a lot of our gym equipment to Optus. We're going to start training at Optus as of today. Just to sort of, we're going to do the footy program separate from everywhere else. Because obviously we have the women's come in as well. So we're just separating everything and really taking all measures to, make sure that no one gets sick.
Well, lock you into the Optus Stadium. You're the only people I know who'd be able to survive on a diet of hot chips and still come out healthy at the other end.
They'd burn it off.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's just taking out every measure we can to make sure if we do play that we're not going to get each other sick. Yeah.
So we're all things being equal, on Saturday morning our time, you'll be walking out onto Marvel Stadium to play the Bombers.
Yeah, hopefully. Obviously, we're planning for that right now. We train today and then a little light session tomorrow and get on the plane. Obviously, it depends on what happens today. But, everyone's ready to play at the moment.
How about the chat amongst the boys? I mean, let's be honest, you're playing footy, but it is a job for you guys. The chat amongst the boys, is anyone prepared to take a financial haircut? Is it, that kind of talk go on, bud, right now?
I think with the 17 games, I think it's inevitable. But, we love playing footy and we love playing for the fans. And if it's playing in front of the TV, on TV for the fans to sit at home, while everyone's in a bit of a lockdown, we'll do it. So, we're just hoping that we get the season underway. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting around like everyone else, depending, but yeah.
Yeah, and forgive me if I've got this wrong, buddy, but I believe the Players Association they want to play the full 22, right, not the 17. Is there a reason for that? Have I got that right?
We want to play as many games as we can.
Yeah, sure,
But, obviously it depends on if the whole state or obviously Australia country has to go into lockdown. Mm. But, we're hoping that we play every game. Obviously it depends on whether we need to take a leave through a couple of months when it goes a bit crazy. But, we're just hoping that it doesn't get to that stage and we can play as many as we can and, go from there.
There's a lot of people going through this across all sorts of industries, but it's a funny thing trying to keep your head in the game and stay really focused when there's other stuff going on in the background.
Huge distractions.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely a different prep to what we're used to. There's a lot of distractions going on. Obviously, sitting at home the whole week is a bit different, but... We're hoping to play anyway, so see how we go.
Good on you, bud.
Okay, mate. So it's Freo and the Bombers live on Mix 94.5 from 10:30 a.m. Good luck on the weekend, bud.
Sweet, thank you.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5.
Now, Clancy, you attended a funeral yesterday.
Yeah, I went to a funeral for a lovely bloke by the name of Paul Redman, who was a bit of a radio legend here in Perth. He worked in the classic lineup of PMFM, and it was a really weird day because we had rain, obviously. That's just the weather that can just happen. But it was also, I've never been to a hug-free funeral before. And everyone's doing that awkward, oh, what do we do here? Now, obviously, family and emotions and that, and there were some hugs going on in that respect. But probably, I would imagine numbers would have been down a little bit. Some people concerned about... do you roll up there and do you get awkward with people you know and you love or you care about?
And it came on the day that they announced limits to that sort of thing,
limits to the number of people there. Yeah. So there was still a wonderful crowd there, and Paul Redman was a huge Dockers man. So a lot of Dockers colours came out, including some of that ugly old merch with purple and red and white and all the rest of it going on. But he always used to say he was a butcher by trade, but he made his name in Perth as a radio announcer and radio man, a funny man with a guitar in his hand at the 1080 The Eagle and then at PMFM and that classic lineup of the morning crew with Gary Shannon and a whole crew there. And Mandy Walsh was there yesterday, was part of that. Bernie Britton, part of that team as well. But Gary Shannon told lots of stories. He and Gary Kay were great mates of Paul Redman.
Yeah.
But Gary Shannon told a story when they got a gig just doing a silly night of games and that at the Peninsula Hotel down in Mandra. So they were going to be doing that. He said, we did it for a year because, and I can't do Shannon style because it's Gary Shannon-esque, but he said, we did it for a year because they paid us so much damn money.
Okay.
I was meeting Redman down there because he was doing a gig before and Redman had borrowed someone's tinny to go out and do some crabbing. And he goes, I pulled into the car park at the Peninsula and they're 50 metres offshore is Redmond standing with one. He stands up in the tinny and he's got the biggest blue manta crab in one hand and a whole wad of cash, like thousands of dollars of cash in the other hand, obviously from the gigs that they were doing. And has gone, it's been an effing good weekend so far, which is very Redmond, you know. And there's Gary Kay, a great mate of his and a, you know, part of the famous Kay family here in Perth with a Civic Theatre restaurant. Mm. He was a wonderful friend. And he said, you know, he could say some uncouth things, but he said he was a marshmallow inside. And that was the thing that came across with his wonderful kids there yesterday.
Mm.
And I left, as I left the chapel and trying to avoid a few hugs and all the rest of it as we were doing awkwardly, I walked out and it was sort of light rain outside. And my old man texted me and he didn't know I was going to a funeral. And he said, I'm just letting you know that I've got my pacemaker installed. My old man's almost 82.
Mm.
But his pacemaker installed. He said, good to go for another 10.
Good man.
And I went, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So a couple of people offered me a lift and I just walked to clear the head in the rain, just feeling grateful for a whole lot of things and thinking about Paul Redmond.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So RIP to Paul Redmond after we said farewell to a good Dockers man yesterday and a wonderful father and a good bloke.
And a good reminder to feel grateful
every day
all those little things.
Yeah, and I didn't care about getting wet in the rain because Paul couldn't go for a walk walk in the rain yesterday, so there you go.
I hope someone took a photo of you walking in the rain because it would make a great album cover.
I was looking pretty soggy by the end of it. Yeah, someone did offer me a lift. That was funny. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Now, our dear friend Kimba Cahill has been going on and on and on about something that happened to her last night. Claire, do you have any sad music? Because she's going to tell us what happened.
Stop it.
Sad music. I'm just going through the sad music collection. How does this one sound?
Oh, perfect. Oh, Kimba, over to you.
You idiot.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
What happened, love?
Look, I'm just saying, this is legitimate, right?
Yeah,
sure.
This music is insane. So, at home last night, and stop it, Claire.
Is it too distracting? Sorry.
It makes me sound ridiculous. Now, I know that there's some serious things going on in the world right now, but
What happened?
I accidentally put my foot underneath the ottoman. So it's got a couple of legs on the bottom of the ottoman.
Yeah,
sure.
Just sitting in the lounge, and I just innocently put my feet underneath it as I went to move off the couch.
Oh, dear.
And then I felt this searing pain, and I mean, it was painful, right? And I was grabbing at my foot, screaming, swearing. My partner, James, is like, what have you done? What have you done? And it was so painful that I couldn't speak.
And why is that ottoman in here?
Yeah.
So painful I couldn't speak because it turns out there was a rogue staple. Now, I don't mean one of these ones that just go in your rubbish piece of paper.
You mean a furniture staple?
Furniture staple.
They're a bit bigger.
That was sticking out from under the ottoman.
Right.
And it rammed itself. Well, I guess when I kicked it with my foot, the staple went underneath my big toenail.
Ooh,
between the nail bed and the toe and ran itself halfway under my nail.
Yeah, that would hurt. Right? That would hurt.
I know it's only a toe. I know it's a tiny digit, but oh my God, the pain was absolutely intense.
They're bigger staples, but they're not always all the way in as well, are they?
No.
They're a bit sort of, you know, they sort of do it a bit slap happy, you know?
Like, I can't believe I've never touched, like it was amazing that I haven't touched it before, you know? Like,
you clearly bought it from a high quality furniture.
Yeah, of course. Good staples.
It's not at all cheap, for sure. But it went in, of course, my toe started bleeding profusely.
Oh, there's only one thing we can do right now is play the sad. Yeah, man, you're bleeding.
But I needed like ice packs. I had to put my foot, because you can't really get the ice or anything underneath the toenail.
No,
but the throbbing and the pain, I mean, I'm talking it didn't leave for about 25 minutes. And I'm like, how is that possible when it's such a small injury that it can cause such big pain?
Well, that was a form of torture at one point, sticking things under the nail.
I can see why.
I'm sorry now. That is quite painful.
It actually really, I had to, I know this
it's
sounds.
It's the paper cut at about times.
It pretty much is. Yeah.
I know. It sounds lame, but I had to put my feet in a foot spa.
Oh, because you couldn't get ice under your toenail.
Filled with ice because I couldn't keep the pain away. Like, what else are you supposed to do? You don't take a Panadol or anything, do you? Well, and they're in short supply right now.
You could do. Yeah, you don't want to waste them on something like that. But yeah, that's very painful at that point in time.
Have you guys ever had something small like that that's caused huge pain?
Oh, every day of my life.
You know, you mentioned the paper cut.
Yes.
I accidentally slid my hand along our bathtub the other day and got a paper cut only from a tile, a sharp edge of a tile.
Ah, right.
Tiny little tile cut. Didn't actually bleed, but opened the skin up, and I went, I can't believe on this sized body that hurts so damn much.
Oh, you need to call the grout guy.
Oh, mate, I'm never bathing again.
Yeah, let's go to Brabham. Sherry, tell us about it.
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Good, thanks.
This is so embarrassing.
Good.
So, thanks, Matt. So, I had a baby gate at the front at my house. Just blocking off some stuff. And I decided that I was going to put it away. And it was one of those concertina baby gates.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as I lifted it to close it.
Oh, no.
I've lifted it up against myself and I've actually squashed my nipple.
Oh, the concertina.
Ouch. Did you scream, Sherry? What did you do?
Well, consequently, I let go of the baby gate.
Yep.
I let go of the baby gate, but the baby gate sort of yanked me.
Oh, it was still clamped.
Painful.
Oh, no.
The full-on nipple grip.
Oh, Sherry, you know you can get those things at adult stores. You don't have to use the baby gate.
But you weren't holding...
I really sympathise with you, Kimber.
It's just, so it's ridiculous. Yeah. You're like, how can something so small hurt so much?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, because it's a nipple. They're very sensitive.
Yeah. Good on you, Sherry. We're glad
Thank
you've recovered.
Thank you for coming clean.
Oh, there you go. I mean, that whole story is Babygate, isn't it?
It
really, we have to call
so
it.
So good. John in Lakelands, what happened?
I used to breed birds, and one day I was out cleaning the bird cages out and got some bird poo in my eye.
Oh.
In the space of half an hour, 40 minutes, my eye had gone completely bloodshot red, closed up,
yep.
And it looked like I had a golf ball inside my eye.
Oh, really?
No.
So it's a bit toxic, isn't it, there, John?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I ended up going to hospital and three and a half hours of having my eye flushed out and antibiotics to clear it up, and still took about another 5 hours to clear it up.
And, John, what's that feeling like? Is it like a sting? Is it stinging or...?
It's basically like it felt like somebody was getting a red hot needle and sticking it in my eye.
Oh, John.
It sounds like something out of a Ridley Scott film, like your eye's going to explode.
I couldn't believe it either, how much pain it caused just from a little bit of bird shit.
No.
Fair call.
That's why you never forget.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Good on you,
John.
Bird flu. Barry's in Armidale. G'day, Barry. What about that small injury, big pain?
Hi, good morning, guys. Some years ago, I had this. I went to the bathroom and I finished my wee,
yes.
And I was trying to zip up my pants.
Sure.
And
I zip up my penis.
Oh no!
Oh,
Barry, we've all been there. That is horrific.
Yeah. So I just lost it. I didn't know what to do. If it's to wash my hands first or to sort out the problem.
Yeah.
I have to go back into the bathroom, and I took almost 2 hours to sort out that problem.
Oh, Barry!
Are we talking like bits and zips, Barry?
Yeah, I have to destroy the zip. And after that, I feel that pain for more than 2 weeks, and there was no sex for more than 1 month.
No,
this tragedy gets worse and worse.
That's the worst part.
Oh, yeah. And also just the reoccurring memories, the flashbacks every time you go to put your zip up.
You've got to go buttons after that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And everyone making those jokes about something about Mary, yeah.
Yeah, whenever I go to the bathroom now, I finish, I wash my hands first, and I carefully
yes.
Break out in a cold sweat every time you have to go for a wee.
Oh, wow.
Good on you, Barry.
I'm cringing, and I don't have one.
Let's go to City Beach. Angela, small injury, big pain. Tell us about it.
It was my brother, who's prone to a little exaggeration. He cut his hand and quickly panicked when he saw a little bit of blood, wrapped it in a towel, jumped in his van, put his hazard lights on and drove like he was an ambulance to the hospital bay.
Sure.
Parked in the ambulance bay, ran in. I think he got 2 stitches.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't life-changing, life-threatening?
No. I think the only thing that was, painful is the teasing his head since.
Oh, but see, something happens. I reckon the digits and things in the face, like you can get, imagine, how much pain a tooth can give you. Like little things can be so painful.
Well, they're very vascular, those regions, so they're more likely to throb and be painful.
Vascular. Yeah. Good word, Angela.
Great word.
He wasn't an ambulance.
And a big thanks to Angela's brother for tying up our ED department. Yeah,
it was pre-corona.
Of course it was.
Thanks, Ange.
Thanks, Angela.
No worries.
And still the best bit of radio this week was Kimber saying, I can feel the pain even though I haven't got one.
Yeah. Yeah, that made me feel felt icky after hearing that story.
Glad about that.
Getting in touch with your male side.
Yeah. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jim King missed.
We discussed it. We need a bit of sunshine.
We certainly do. And I can imagine that at the moment with the general anxiety in the community, people are probably using lots of different ways to find some peace. You know, maybe they're meditating or using some apps or whatnot, getting some stuff on YouTube. And I'm sure for a lot of people, and I've heard this, I've never had it myself, but watching fish in an aquarium can be a very peaceful activity. Oh. Isn't that nice?
Oh. Sounds peaceful.
Just watching the fish swim around.
That one looks like Nemo.
Sometimes dump a load and it sinks to the bottom of the tank, you know.
Oh, nice.
And this is what Alexandra Miller, 28, she's a Cancerian. She enjoys long walks on the beach.
Sure.
When she bought a 2-inch goldfish at a fair.
Oh, nice.
And she took it home. And it grew to 12 inches.
Hmm.
She named it Gerald. It's grown at least to a foot now.
What?
And, yeah, and it keeps eating all of its neighbours.
No.
He's outgrown two tanks. He lets her know, this is Gerald the goldfish that's now a foot long, lets her know when he's hungry by grabbing the thermometer that they put in the tank and tapping it on the glass.
Oh, my
goodness. Wow.
But at least he knows, you know, she can tell whether it's got corona or not because she knows its temperature. It jumps out of the water with said thermometer and whacks it on the glass.
It's a foot long. Should have called it Subway.
Yeah, I don't think that she's got a goldfish. I think she's got a koi.
No, I can see a picture. Oh, okay. Is that what it's called?
No, she was being koi.
You were being koi.
You know, like those koi fish.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
they're
the
very expensive
Japanese ones that you see in the ponds all the time, those huge fish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, it's the question that mankind has been grappling with since there were men and grappling.
Mm.
How do you make something that's 2 inches, 12 inches long?
That's me.
Let's wow, look at that. I see a picture now. It's huge. It's like the length of an egg carton.
Yeah. That last joke went down much better when I did it in the toilet.
Oh, just,
yeah.
Who was your audience?
Myself.
No, you need to take Kimber into the toilet with you.
And I looked in the mirror and I said, Dictinsky, you are on fire.
That was gold. As long as it worked, dude. It's okay. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. What do you do if you're having a wedding right now with coronavirus? What's going on?
Don't.
Well, you know, it is affecting people and business everywhere, but on that personal level, people who have planned their weddings, I've seen a few people online saying they've invited their guests to come from overseas. They've got family members coming, but now they're all in quarantine.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to be at the wedding.
Mm.
And now with Scott Morrison saying this morning, gatherings, non-essential gatherings of more than 100 people
indoors.
In an enclosed space, indoors, not allowed.
Mm.
So there's going to be plenty of people who have to cancel or postpone their wedding to a different time because you simply can't have your guests there.
Well, as you know, I'm getting married. T and I are getting married in late June, and I had the first conversation with my Eastern States friends last night,
right.
Although domestic travel is still allowed. But I sort of let him know, and I'll let everyone know that, hey, I get it. If you don't want to come, I won't be offended.
If you want to bag out. So that means we can't play this song?
Oh. Well.
It's just going to be me, tea, and a heap of paella.
You hungry?
Yeah.
Get into it.
Hopefully we'll still be there.
Oh,
it'll
would
just
you?
Be, it'll just be us.
Yeah, we'll be there in full suits.
What goes with a face mask?
Yeah.
Well, 133353, we want to hear if your wedding is going to be affected by this. We've got Tony on the line there. Tony, there's been an engagement party that's had to go on hold.
Yeah, guys, it's a pretty sad situation in a lot of ways. My son and daughter-in-law are flying back from London. They've been over there for a couple of years. They found happiness and decided they were going to get married. They've come back and, look, they've had to cancel. They had an engagement party in a couple of weeks' time. About 100 people, I guess, up at home. And the really great story, and I, in a time of a bit of despair and perhaps some stuff that's not quite so positive, the suppliers, the band, for example, the people who are providing the furniture or supplying the furniture, they've gone against their policies of not refunding deposits, and they've refunded them full to us.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, good on them.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, the kids are devastated enough as it is to have lost that sort of money and stuff as well. So kudos to them. And, you know, if we are able to arrange another one, you know, we definitely definitely do something with these people. So it's sort of a good story, and you know, like I say, the kids are pretty upset, but it helps to soften the blow a little bit when there's people doing good things.
Right? It's a great business. It's very compassionate. You'd probably go back to them again.
So. Yeah, and they want to come back and share their romance with everybody, but also in those businesses, our hearts go out to them too, because the bands and the people, they've lost their income. So it's a tough one for everyone. Thanks, Tony.
Interest.
It goes right down the line, doesn't it? We know celebrants who used to work in radio, and then all of a sudden their calendars, their diaries are empty.
Yeah. Ellie's in Belga. Ellie, you've got a wedding coming up. Is that going to be able to go ahead?
No, unfortunately not. It's supposed to happen next week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we're just trying to navigate what to do and how we're going to cope, because we've pretty much paid for everything, so we're not sure what's going to happen.
And Ellie, why are you cancelling? Was it because of numbers or...?
Yeah, definitely numbers. I mean, we've been indecisive for the last week, waiting, hoping that the government would make a decision around what we could possibly do. I mean, we're so worried about elderly guests.
Yeah,
and
of course.
We just don't know.
So it's not just the limit. It's not just the limit of 100 people. It's more you're concerned about social distancing.
Yeah, I guess it's both. I mean, we've got 104. The numbers slowly dwindled throughout the week.
Oh, you can just cut 5 worried. People, Ellie. Just get 5 people that are uninvited.
Nana. Oh, ruthless.
well, I guess it's that. But also, I mean, we've got videographers, photographers.
Yeah, of course.
DJs.
Yeah.
I think that all totals over 100 anyway.
Yeah. So. What does that mean money-wise, Ellie? Do you get some of it back or how's that looking?
Some vendors are happy to postpone, but because we've paid, you know, the money will sit with them, which we're fine with. We understand that this is affecting everybody.
Yeah.
But I guess it's more the vendors who now need to make a decision that we could be up for thousands lost. So we just don't know.
Dear. Oh, Ellie, sorry. Well, I hope that on the 27th you get to actually, you know, do something special with your partner and just postpone this. And I'm sure when the wedding comes around, it'll be fantastic.
I hope so. That's our anniversary, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. We just want the clouds to part for you, Ellie. All the best, and we're thinking of it.
Yeah,
awesome.
Give us a call, 133353, if your wedding's had to be cancelled or postponed, because it's not easy, especially if you've had overseas travel or you've come back for it with your family and suddenly now it can't happen.
And it's easy when pollies talk about the economy as a broad thing and you can sort of look at them with disdain going, oh, who cares about the economy at the moment? But you know, it affects people on a day-to-day level, and it's jobs, it's people's wages, it's you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's money hanging up in the air for Ellie and her partner. So.
And their personal story, Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning
on Mix 94.5. If you're a member of the Red Army, right, you love trudging your way down Wellington Street to go and see the Wildcats play on the weekend. Can you imagine if the NBL, which have called off the NBL Grand Final series now, and we understand it's a very difficult situation.
Yes.
Imagine if all of a sudden they gave the title to Sydney. Because they finished the top of the wazzer at the end of the regular season.
They did, yes.
Could you imagine the outrage?
And that could be what happens. They're making a decision. They're basically waiting to hear. The Wildcats might be 2 wins in the grand final series, but the Sydney Kings finished top of the ladder. And they're trying to say, well...
Eastern
And it's sort of, there's not a win in it for anyone, is there? Because you kind of go, you'd want to win the grand final properly.
Well, there may be a win in it for Damian Martin because we're trying to get in touch with him, but he's clearly on the terp somewhere.
might have had a mad Tuesday.
Yeah.
Could be out there. And, you know, you could say they may announce that the Wildcats are champions for this year, or there could be an asterisk in that column for the season 2020, 19-20.
Yeah, so, you split it. I don't know how you do
and,
it.
You know, Dame might get his 6th ring and go, oh, it's not quite as good as the other ones, you know? Mm-hmm. So we'll see how we go with that.
That's going to be a really tough thing.
Yeah. Actually, Lachie Reed, we've been trying to track down Damo. We've got Lachie Reed. G'day, mate.
Good morning, guys. Damo's probably had a couple of brewskis, I reckon.
That's what he'd had a couple of frothies, perhaps, mate. This is a really weird situation with the grand finals. Well, they've been called off now.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, frustrating for the Perth Wildcats and their fans. You can completely understand where Sydney are coming from. They've got some imports that are concerned about trying to get home, but... In hindsight, things should have been different last Friday when there was an opportunity to play just a 3-game series instead of a 5-game series and have this whole grand final and NBL championship decided on Sunday.
Mm. Well, the Wildcats made a few offers. The offer was let's do best of 3. There was also offers of private charter flights. There was also offers of let's bring it forward and we'll play Wednesday instead of Friday. Mm. The Kings rejected all of those and said, no, let's just call it quits. So... We tried to compromise.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, the Cats have done everything possible. And to be honest, the NBL have done their very best in trying to make sure this championship is legitimate. As you said, Friday, they sat down before the Perth game and said, righto, let's make it a three-game series, which means we'll play Friday night and we'll play Sunday. The winner, the best of three, wins the championship. That was rejected.
Right.
Then they mentioned on Sunday, let's bring Friday's game forward to Wednesday, and that could have decided the championship because the Cats were leading 2-1 and will fly private jets and have aeroplanes where there's no one sitting around the players, and that was rejected as well. So, look, yeah, I don't think the Cats or the NBL could have done any more in trying to make this all happen. And now remains the question, who will be announced champion, or will there be an asterisk and no champion for the 2020 NBL season?
And Lachie, let's take our WA parochialism out of it. You're a justice on the High Court. What do you think would be fair?
Look, I mean, there's only two options, Matty. I think that the one option is just to not declare a winner, just say, look, the series wasn't complete, and we can't decide who was the winner because Sydney finished top of the table at the end of the regular season, but Perth had the advantage in the grand final series. Mm. However, I think you really need to announce a champion.
Mm.
And I think Perth sitting 2-1 in a grand final series, they also won five of the seven games that have been played between the two teams during the season and the playoffs. I think that proves that they're the better team. And they've won two games away from home.
They did, yeah.
In this finals campaign as well. So to me, Perth are the champions. They've done what they needed to do. They held the advantage in the best of five series, although it only was three games played. So, yeah, I think give it to Perth, but it's now in the hands of the NBL and, to be honest, the lawyers.
Okay, Locke, and if it goes that way and Perth become champions, does someone like Damo look at that sixth ring and go, it hasn't got quite the same worth, or you can only go by the rules that are made up?
Oh, I think most of the players will be sitting there going, we worked our butts off for the year, and we deserve to win this championship. Yes, we didn't get to celebrate on court and celebrate with a parade in the city, but we worked really hard and we absolutely deserved it. What it does also say is, does Damo retire? Does he go for another one?
Yeah.
You know, there remains a lot of questions now for the players, but I'm sure they'd be pretty proud of their efforts, and Sydney would be as well. It's just a shame that it had to end up this way.
Okay. All right. And footy, looks like footy's going ahead at this point in time, mate. And we know you're part of our core team.
Yeah, at this point, Den and I and Embers will be ready to go Sunday.
Sorry, Lockie, you're still working the weekends, bud.
Just with you.
I'm working for you guys.
Oh, always working for us. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix 94.5. We've been giving updates on what's going on with the coronavirus. We know about the level 4 travel ban for overseas travel. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has spoken this morning and he's saying it's off.
Yes, and although they're reassessing all the time, schools at this stage are not going to close.
Yeah, but for gatherings that are non-essential gatherings, under 100 people.
Indoors.
And 500 people if you're outdoors.
Banned.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of what Scott Morrison had to say about some of our essential services.
The health advice is that schools should remain open. Whatever we do, we've got to do for at least 6 months. So that means the disruption that would occur from the closure of schools around this country, make no mistake, would be severe. Tens of thousands of jobs could be lost, if not more. The impact on the availability of health workers, a 30% impact on the availability of health workers is our advice. That will put people's lives at risk.
Okay. Now, the Prime Minister's spoken there about our health workers.
Mm.
And I just want to say that these people are bloody heroes out there working on the front line of what's going on. You know, some people and some politicians have likened this to a war, and in a way it is.
Mm.
And I know nurses, I know some doctors who are heading to work every day, and of course there's some fear, but they are bloody gutsy and they don't let people down because they care.
Well, much like our firefighters, our health workers are putting themselves in serious risk.
Yes.
We've seen in other parts of the world, people who are dealing with it front on are also catching coronavirus and having to deal with that themselves.
And they do this on a daily basis no matter what. They're angels at the best of times, but it's right at the moment when other people are behaving in a really selfish way that our professional health workers are doing their job, you know, 100% and with love and care and kindness.
Right. When those new numbers came out the other day, there were another 10 people with coronavirus, and three of them were medical professionals.
You know,
the people who've been on the front line.
I know there was a moment in Italy while they're all in lockdown, and you might have seen the videos going around of people being on the balconies playing music together and things like that. They actually had a moment where they all congratulated and thanked the healthcare workers and they all applauded. And it was just minutes of people, you know, clapping and, you know, woo-hooing to say thank you for everything you're doing.
Yeah. The lines are open, by the way, 133353 about, you know, the health workers, healthcare workers and how you're affected by the coronavirus, because it's rocking all of our worlds. But in particular, if you're on the front line there, it's definitely having a, it's in front of mind all the time.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about how you're coping, what, you know, how you're coping going home to your family, the anxiety you must feel going home after a shift like that.
Well, yeah, and are they having to go into isolation as well? I mean, if they've been around people who are sick, maybe they're not able to see their families. And that's one of the toughest things for everybody right now.
Yeah, we've seen what's been going on with the Joondalup Health Campus. Roger Cook, the health minister.
The private maternity ward shut down after a health worker tested positive. 19 staff and 4 patients now at risk and in isolation. Every other patient quickly squeezed into the public section of the hospital.
Shutting down that ward and then doing a deep clean is obviously seems to me to be an appropriate response.
Yeah, there is Roger Cook saying that is very important to do a shutdown. Mm. It's got to be someone who does that work when,
absolutely.
You know, we get new cases. Welcome, Alicia.
What are you experiencing?
So the biggest thing at the moment is actually people lying.
Right, okay.
We actually have to ask everybody who's booking an appointment. We have a service where people can book online as well for the GP. Whether we've actually made the appointment ourselves over the phone, as soon as people actually come into the clinic, we actually have to ask them, have they been travelling overseas within the last 2 weeks? Have they had any contact with friends or family who's been travelling overseas? And sometimes there is a language barrier, so we are using hand signals of aeroplanes and all sorts of things to try and get our points across. But people actually blatantly lie and say, no, they haven't been travelling. They get to the doctor's office and then the doctor comes out and says, why did you let them through? They've just come back from Africa or Europe or somewhere. And we can't do anything about the fact that people are just being silly and frankly very selfish and lying about it.
And also, people need to realise that just by admitting it, it doesn't mean you won't get treatment. It just means that it's handled differently to protect everybody else.
And they do. They get taken through to a secure area and it's a closed off area and then obviously then it gets cleaned down afterwards. It's not that they're necessarily not going to see the doctor. There are some circumstances where they won't, depending on obviously what their answers are. When they say, yes, they have been travelling, we have further things to ask them. But it just depends on, obviously, as I said, their answers. But they really need to be able to tell the truth. It's going to help everybody.
Yeah.
Obviously them. And the other thing is we have to obviously cite Medicare cards and ID. And because obviously this is transferred through touch as a most common thing, we're actually having to tell people to hold on to their things and just show us their ID and their Medicare cards and other stuff now rather than actually take them off of them, which is quite difficult because people automatically just go to hand them over.
Alicia, I can imagine not only the very real dangers that you're encountering every day, but it must be exhausting. I'm sure you're talking to a lot of very anxious people.
Yeah, a lot of people come in scared. We have a lot of people calling, actually, just saying, is it safe to even come into the clinic?
Yeah,
right. I mean, we've had no scares at this point, obviously, in our surgery, but I'm sure other people have.
Yeah.
We've said to people, look, it is safe. You're more than welcome to come in. If you're not comfortable sitting in the waiting area, you can wait outside. And when the doctor calls you, we'll come through and we'll let you know and you can go through and see them. But, yeah, there are a lot of scared and anxious people. As soon as anybody coughs, oh my God, everyone's facing.
I bet.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's going to be judged.
And people have to cough still. It's not like there's anything wrong with
them. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's been lots of jokes, Alicia, saying we used to cough to cover the sound of a fart, and now everyone's farting to cover the sound of a cough.
Pardon.
Definitely.
And Alicia, the other thing about you, you're talking about people lying. It's, you know, language barrier aside, it is quite selfish, isn't it? We need people to think about each other, not just themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good on you, Alicia. Well, hats off to you and all of your colleagues, and thank you so much.
No worries.